This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Now, we have on the phone our next guest, David. We've got Natalie King, who's a curator of an exhibition that is currently on. It's with Australian and Japanese contemporary photographers, and it's part of the Tokyo Olympics and leading artists from both Australia and Japan. Welcome to the show, Natalie.
Thank you so much for having me on your program. I'm also a fan of Dolly Parton. Maybe we need to invite her on next Sunday.
Oh, God, I wish we would. You probably don't know this, Natalie, and you will get a chance one day when you come into our studio, but we have this big sort of cardboard cutout of Dolly Parton in the studio, which I think was promoting one of her, I think it was a book that she had out some time ago. Yeah. Because Joy actually managed to snag an interview with Dolly Parton at that time, because I think she was only giving two media interviews and we just happened to be one of them, luckily Australia-wide. So. Yep.
Brilliant.
Just a bit of backstory about us. But speaking of backstories, we need a backstory for you, Natalie. Now, before we talk about the actual exhibition, how about giving us a bit of a history on yourself? How did you get started in the arts, basically curating, and where did your love for arts come about?
Well, I've been curating for over 20 years.
Oh, is that all? God, come on. Come on.
Is that all? I know. Oh, girl. Okay, 25.
So it's all new to you then. Is that what you're saying?
I've worked quite extensively in Asia. And in 2004 and 2006, I worked with the premier photography museum in Japan, the Tokyo Photographic Art Museum, which is a collecting institution, but also a museum in downtown Tokyo in an area called Ebisu.
Give us an indication on how did you end up doing that? You know, like, well, what was your connection with Japan?
So in 1996, I'm not sure why, I went and lived in Tokyo for a period of time. Oh, I know why. A colleague of mine got the Australia Council Tokyo Studio, and I helped him write his application, and the agreement was if he secured the studio, I could join him.
Brilliant.
So I went over and settled him in for about 3 weeks, and he came back 10 years later. So I started to develop connections and affiliations and a rapport with colleagues in Japan, and curated two exhibitions for the Photography Museum. But then in 2017, I had the enormous privilege of curating Tracy Moffat at the Venice Biennale.
Yes.
And she was the first solo presentation by an Aboriginal artist. And my colleagues from the Photography Museum saw Tracy's exhibition, My Horizon, and reached out to me and said, why don't we work together again? And at that time, I suggested to them, why don't we collaborate? Why don't we work on something that of commonality, something that has meaning to audiences in Japan, and that we can work as a curatorial team. So I started working with the museum, and we came up, this is pre-COVID, with the idea Reversible Destiny. And what we were looking at is how photography can capture the past, think about the present, and imagine collective futures, which of course is a fairly urgent way of looking at the world now that we're all kind of on hold. So we developed this concept, and the exhibition, I went over in December 2019 and visited the museum, and we made a number of studio visits, and we started selecting the artists. And the curator with whom I'm working, Yuri Yamada, she also came to Australia, and we did our field trip. But then, of course, COVID happened, and the exhibition was scheduled for last year, and it was postponed by 1 year. But in some ways that has given us, I guess, the gift of time to finesse the exhibition, produce a bilingual catalogue. And the media preview is tomorrow, and the exhibition opens on Tuesday. Sadly, I'm not there, which is not something I ever imagined, but pandemic curation is something new to all of us. I mean, how do you work on large-scale exhibitions when you can't travel? So we've been doing all our work via Zoom. We've been installing. My next Zoom actually is in 1 hour. We'll be finalising the lighting. And it's not, of course, it's not ideal, but we've adapted to working in this way. At least the exhibition is going ahead.
Yeah, brilliant. And how, so there's a combination of Japanese photographers and Australian, is that right?
Exactly. So there are 8 artists in the exhibition. And what we wanted to do was show artworks by Australian and Japanese artists side by side, artists who have similar concerns. So some of the artists in the exhibition are Marie Clark, who at the moment has a very large, super impressive survey exhibition at the National Gallery of Victoria. So we've shown a cross-section of her work in Tokyo, alongside an artist like Miyako Ishiuchi. And she is a more senior Japanese artist, and I actually saw her work at the Venice Biennale in 2005. She represented Japan with a series that she produced called Mothers, where after her mother passed away, she photographed her mother's belongings. And I had always longed to work with her. I thought her work was incredibly powerful and poetic and really captured what's left behind when someone is no longer. So fortunately, I was able to visit her studio in December 2019 on the outskirts of Tokyo and talk to her about contributing to the exhibition. And what she has contributed is every year she goes back to Hiroshima and she photographs garments or belongings by those who perished in the atomic bomb. So these are like charred or scorched dresses or a lack of comb or a watch where the time has stopped. And they're, even though they're objects and they're inanimate, they have this incredible beauty and sense of sorrow and loss.
And where are they? And where's she finding them? Are they still just laying somewhere or have they been collected?
Well, that's a really great question. So they have all been collected at the Hiroshima Peace Memorial.
Okay.
And they keep acquiring new belongings. So since 2007, Ishiuchi has returned to Hiroshima to photograph new belongings. And it's an ongoing series. But I guess it pays tribute to those that were left behind. But the photograph was incredible kind of pathos. And some of the other artists, there's a younger sort of Sydney, rural Victoria-based artist called Val Wenz. He's originally from Indonesia. And he, pre-COVID, went to a sulfur mine in Java and he photographed himself against this sort of aquatic lake juggling, and he's looking at the juggle between being a Muslim gay man living in Sydney who's Indonesian. So a very complicated cultural and personal history, but you know, living between two worlds and what he has to juggle within himself.
Sounds absolutely fascinating. So will be open to the general public in Japan, or would are they, because they're in a fairly serious problem with COVID, aren't they? So, or will it just be online?
So the exhibition is being displayed in the museum, and it opens from the 24th of August till the 31st of October. And during October, we will present an online symposium where there'll be in-depth interviews with artists and panel discussions looking at the concept of reversible destiny, how the past impacts the present and how we might be able to imagine collective futures. So there will be online access, but it is a physical exhibition, which sadly I'm not there, but...
That was the question I was asking because, you know, the Olympics didn't, and Paralympics I don't think are going to have... crowds in the stadiums. So will this, will people in Japan be able to go to the exhibition, or will it, because of limitations?
The museum is open, but with stringent COVID protocols, and also mask wearing is quite common in Japan. So there's adherence to mask wearing, and the media conference preview is going ahead tomorrow. There's 30 media attending with social distancing. So I guess we're doing our best. And in right. some ways, I feel like it's a relief that the museum is actually open, because it is very hard here for artists who have and curators who have worked for years on yeah. exhibitions that are closed. At the
Well, yes, you know, like the NGV at present, you know, they've got this amazing French Impressionist exhibition, and none of the people from Boston could come out for it, and now it's been closed for most of its run. So, you know, like it's a tough time for institutions, for people to actually get into it. So we will be able to see this online, will we? You know, here
so
in Australia.
Be online. There'll be a link on the Tokyo Photographic Art Museum website. There'll be the symposium in October. We produced a bilingual catalogue, and we commissioned Tony Birch, the Aboriginal author, to write a parallel, I guess, fictional text called Four Frames, which is very beautiful. So
okay.
we have a publication as well. And
yeah,
with any luck, the exhibition might tour. That would be the dream.
Right. Okay.
Beyond.
How can we see it? You know, like, where do we go to have a look at it?
So if you go to the Tokyo Photographic Art Museum website,
right,
there's all the artists' images are there. There's artist profiles,
yep.
And in October, on the museum's YouTube channel, in-depth interviews with each of the artists will be uploaded when the process of compiling all this, I guess, digital virtual content at the moment to supplement the exhibition on display.
Right. Okay.
Yeah,
it's a complex situation for all of us.
That's
fair enough. That's the situation where I think we're all in. So okay. So the website will have all the information about the artists.
Exactly.
Okay. The shots as well as the and will it also have the details about the symposium as well, the links and everything on there?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that will be. We're looking at the 4th to the 6th of October for the symposium, and there'll be interviews with the artists are Rosemary Lang, Val Wenz, Marie Clark, Ishiuchi Miyako, Mari Katayama. So she's a really interesting artist she was in the 2019 Venice Biennale, and she was born with the condition whereby her bones didn't grow, and she had her legs partially amputated at the age of 9.
Whoa.
But what she does is she photographs herself in these very elaborate velvet sewn environments with shells, and I guess adorning her body and celebrating her different abilities.
Yeah, fantastic. All right,
there'll be an interview with her as well.
Okay, fantastic. And so
I'd love you to tune in. And
yeah, so when is it all
the material?
Or when does it open?
So the media preview is tomorrow, and then the exhibition is open to the public on Tuesday, the 24th of August,
right,
until the 31st of October.
Brilliant. Okay, so go looking for it, people, because it sounds absolutely fabulous. And I love photography. It's one of my favourite forms of art.
Thank you so much for having me on your program, as pleasure. Always.
All right.
You're more than welcome. We've been talking to Natalie King here on Joy 94.9, Sunday Arts Magazine.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.